All right, guys, we're going to get started for our next presentation here at the Planet MicroCap Showcase Vancouver in association with Small Cap Discoveries. Now presenting is Eric Ronci from The Good Shroom Co.
Thank you, Robert, and good morning, everyone. My name is Eric Ronci. I'm the founder and CEO of The Good Shroom Company, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MUSH. That's MUSH, like mushroom. Now, despite our name, we don't sell magic mushrooms or psychedelics of any sort. That would be illegal. Rather, we've become a house of brands primarily made up of cannabis products, but also with one non-cannabis brand. I encourage everyone to go on SEDAR to read our cautionary statements. The Good Shroom Company is not your average cannabis company. And I don't mean that as some fancy tagline. We legitimately are nothing like 99% of cannabis companies out there because they either cultivate or they process cannabis or they do both of those things, while we do none of the above. We've in fact developed a network of co-manufacturing partners whose expertise and manufacturing capabilities we leverage to sell products into our primary market of Quebec and beyond. However, before I get into that, I want to take you back to 2019, before we had a cannabis license, which is when we commercialized a line of instant wellness beverages, which we began selling in Canada and then in the United States. However, when we did receive that cannabis license, it was obvious to me at the time that that's where the low-hanging fruit was located, and so naturally I focused all of our efforts on the cannabis division and the other brands sort of took a back seat. Now I want to give you a global view of cannabis in Canada. This is an industry that from inception to date has done $16.5 billion. This year alone, we're expected to do over $5 billion. If you take a look at the graph on your screen, you see a clear-cut example of consumer adoption in that graph. This is a trend that I don't expect is going to stop for the simple fact that as the younger generation comes of age, these are people that are not going to call their drug dealer to buy their weed. They're going to walk into a store the same way they walk into Walmart to buy what it is they want and simply walk out. Now, I say this to demonstrate that the fundamental business of cannabis is actually healthy. In fact, Canadians are consuming more cannabis today than they ever have in the past. And I say this to you as investors because you're probably well aware of the disaster that has been cannabis on capital markets. We had the boom, then we had the bust, and now we're very much still at the bottom of the barrel. There's turmoil in the industry. There's bankruptcies all over the place. However, when the smoke settles, there'll be a variety of companies left standing, and those will be the ones best positioned to succeed tremendously into the future. Now let's take a look at cannabis in Quebec, because this is our primary market, where we do 90%+ of our sales. It's Canada's fourth largest market, doing about $600 million a year, which represents about 11% of the Canadian market. Now, it's a market that's different than the others, not just because it's francophone, but in its means of distribution. And to know why that is, you need to know first that to sell cannabis in this country, you need a license issued by the federal government. However, distribution of cannabis is governed by the individual provinces. So Quebec is different than Ontario and Alberta and so on. I'll use Ontario as an example to compare because it more closely resembles the rest of Canada. So think of Ontario distribution as an hourglass, where at the top of the funnel you have the companies selling to the center of the funnel, which is the Ontario Cannabis Store, the government, who in turn sells to the privately owned retailers of the province of Ontario, which there's about 1,500. Now, if you look at Quebec, think of it more like a standard funnel, where at the top of the funnel you've got companies selling to the center, the difference here being that the government of Quebec owns and operates exclusively all of the retail stores in the province, of which there's about 100. Now, there's some more notable differences. For example, there's a 30% THC limit in the province of Quebec, a limit which is inexistent in the rest of the country. There's also limitations on edibles and a variety of other things. Now, I want to take you into the operational structure of our company, which is fundamentally supported by three pillars: analytics, network, and branding. So to understand the analytics aspect of our business, I need to take you back to the moment when we received our cannabis license. We were, what most people would have said, including myself at the time, was late to the game, meaning that there was already a level of saturation on the market, consumers had their consumption habits, which was a huge disadvantage. But the advantage, since we're dealing with governments, was that data on all of those sales were existent and available to us. So I'm able to tell you for any one product exactly how many units they sold on any given day from inception to present day. Furthermore, I'm able to tell you all the key product attributes, THC, strains they use, product description, brand name, and so on. So having all of that data available, I started to analyze the different segments in the market. I started with flower, I moved on to pre-rolls, and then I landed on hash. And when I landed on hash, it was obvious there was an opportunity because sales in the segment overall were very high. While there was few products being sold, fewer suppliers supplying them, and the prices they were selling at were quite high. The problem I had then is that I had no hash expertise or manufacturing equipment, nor did I want to invest the capital in that segment. So instead, I went to the market, identified a few hash suppliers, struck a deal with one of them, and in January of 2022, we began by selling only three hash products in Quebec. One of the three quickly became one of the top selling products in that category. And so having experienced that early success and that analytics model now having been validated, naturally we started to identify other gaps and other segments which we needed to find suppliers for. And therein was born what I call today our network of co-manufacturing partners, which offers us a wide variety of products ranging from edibles to cannabis flower to infused joints, and the list goes on. Now, there's a few other advantages to dealing with a structure kind of like this one, essentially that it allows me to tie up the least amount of capital. In other words, it's much less capital intensive than processing or cultivation, for example, which again allows me to free up that working capital and really focus on scaling the business without the impediment of having to raise excessive amounts of cash. And if you think about the cash flow aspect of our business logically, I'll demonstrate with an example. Knowing that my main customer has payment terms of net 30 days, naturally I'm going back to my supply network to negotiate payment terms that are substantially better than net 30 days. In some cases, I take the product on a form of consignment, meaning that I only pay for the product once I've received payment for it, which is zero impediment on cash flow. In other cases, depending on the supplier, I may negotiate payment terms of, to use an example, 50% net 60 days, 50% net 90 days. In cases like that, I like to purchase inventory as just in time as possible, meaning that I'm purchasing 4 to 8 weeks worth of inventory, which essentially creates a sort of revolving door of cash flow, which allows me to free up as much capital as possible to continue scaling the business without raising any more money. Now, the third pillar of our business, which is really two aspects to it, it's branding. Certainly one of the most important pillars. Now, the first part of this, you need to know that we sell products under our brand. Now, I could choose to sell a product under a brand that belongs to one of my suppliers, but if they were to screw up on quality, if they were to have supply interruptions, or if they were to try to change the price on me, then I would become a reflection of their problems to my main client, which, needless to say, is bad for business. Whereas the fact that we use our brands means that if they screw up on any one of those three things, not only do I have supplier B who's willing, but eager to sell us product to replace that, it also serves the dual purpose of keeping supplier A on their toes. The second aspect of branding is that Quebec is legitimately a different market. Case in point, it's Canada's fourth largest market, but by far the largest hash market in the country. Quebecers simply prefer different styles of product, different formats, different flavors, and so our brands are really tailored towards the Quebec cannabis consumer, whereas Canadian companies out there are making brands that are more geared towards the general Canadian. I mentioned earlier on a brand of, or a line of instant wellness beverages that we commercialized before we had that cannabis license. That's the brand that you see on your screen, Teonon, which are exactly as they purport to be. So the Americano is a coffee, the hot chocolate is a hot chocolate, the matcha is a matcha, and same goes with all the other flavors that we sell. Now, the common denominator amongst them all is that they all contain a dose of 6 different functional mushrooms and probiotics, which are great for the gut and a variety of other things. Now, we began selling this product online in Canada, transitioned to a little bit of retail, and then went into the United States. However, as I mentioned earlier, we did receive the cannabis license in the interim, and when we did, this brand really took a back seat. But to my surprise, without any attention paid to it, it continued to develop. We were seeing organic growth. And we've amassed what I like to call today a little cult-like following of customers, excuse me, who are very vocal about their love for the brand and the product. And so when you have that level of engagement from your customers, that's not something that you disregard. That's something that you need to capitalize on. So we're going to take a two-pronged approach now that we have more time and capital on our hands than before, whereby we're going to attempt to get into as many key retailers as possible in Canada, and we're going to attempt to develop the online store specifically in the United States. Here you have a few of the cannabis brands that we own and operate. So to the left of your screen, you have Nordique Royale, which is the first brand we ever commercialized with those three hash products that I mentioned. As a result, earlier on, the brand quickly became synonymous with hash, and so we branched off into hash-infused joints and then cannabis flower and then infused pre-rolls and extracts, and the list goes on. To the center of your screen, you have Velada, which is really the more health and wellness-oriented brand under which we sell CBD capsules. The data shows that there's a gap right now in the balanced THC CBD capsule market, so we're probably going to attempt to list a few products there to really fill that gap. To the right of it, you have OG Jerk, which is a line of THC-infused beef jerky. To understand how this product came to be, you need to know that in Quebec, edibles were illegal up until about a year and a half ago. And when they legalized them, they had one very specific criteria that basically says that you can't sell an edible that would appeal to children. This, of course, was a burden to most edible manufacturers in the country because they make those edibles that one would typically associate to cannabis. So gummies, cookies, candies, that kind of thing, none of which are permissible in Quebec. And so we launched the THC beef jerky. Within a week of launch, it became the best-selling product in that category. In date of today, it's always within the top five, depending on the week we're talking about. And so having experienced that success, I wanted to double down and dominate the entire category. So we created the brand to the right of your screen, Le Petit Snack, under which we sell THC-infused peanuts and THC-infused pepperettes, like those little dry-cured sausages. The result is that on any given day, we represent between 20 and 40% of the entire edibles category in Quebec, and I'm happy to say that average sales continue to go up, at least for our products. You should know, however, that edibles in Quebec is a small category, at least as compared to cannabis flower or pre-rolls and extracts, for example, and it's certainly a small proportion of our sales, at least as compared to Nordique Royale, which has really become the crown jewel, let's say, of our company. Now, as investors, I'm sure what interests you is the numbers, so I want to highlight a few things here. In date of our last fiscal year, which ended July 31st, 2023, which, by the way, is only 18 months into having sold our first cannabis product, we ended the year with around $4 million in sales. Our last five consecutive quarters have been net profitable. If you add the first three quarters of this year, we're already over $3.7 million in net sales. We started with only three SKUs less than 3 years ago, and we presently have over 30 SKUs on the market. Again, taking you back to July 31st, 2023, at the end of our last fiscal year, which is over a year ago at this point, we only represented 0.67% of the total Quebec market. Now, as you can imagine, when you're starting in this business with a little portfolio like we had of three SKUs, with the lack of marketing that you can do legally, it's difficult to get customers to forego their habits and try your product, let alone stick with it and become loyal to the brand. So it takes a little bit of momentum and time to increase the size of the portfolio, gain some brand awareness, gain some product loyalty, and now that we're 3 years in, we have more momentum than we've ever had before. We have wind in our sails, so to speak, supported by a wider variety, how can I put this, a network of co-manufacturers with wider capabilities than ever before, which allows me to analyze more categories. And when I see those gaps, I have the support I need from my supply network. Furthermore, we represent a more important portion of each one of our suppliers' business today than we ever have before, which gives me the leverage needed to negotiate better pricing and better payment terms into the future. And so I don't think it's unrealistic for us to significantly increase our market share into the not-so-distant future. That said, our ambitions go far beyond Quebec. But what you need to understand is that our competitive advantage in Quebec is not something
that can be duplicated outside of the province. So for any one product that I want to sell in another province, it needs to meet one of two criteria, preferably both. First, that same analytics model that I run to decide what products to sell in Quebec, I need to do that in the other province for that specific product, and I need to be filling a gap. Second, it needs to be an innovation, which simply put, I've classified as a product that any government or retailer has not been pitched before me. In other words, a product that is not a traditional cannabis product because the market is absolutely saturated with those. We happen to have one product that meets that criteria de facto across Canada, and that is the THC beef jerky, which is why we launched it in Alberta. I'm happy to say that I'm quite content with that launch because the POs continue to increase both in terms of size and in frequency. We launched it in PEI, and despite the small size of that market, it's actually a pretty good little market. And as product calls continue to come around the country, we're going to continue taking part in them with the obvious goal of having this available for all Canadians to enjoy. Now, when analyzing a wide variety, and I mean really a very wide variety of innovations that we could move forward with, I landed on a product that we've branded DIP, which are these little pouches infused with THC that one places under the lip to administer the dose of cannabis. Once administered, they can discard it. There's three very specific reasons I chose this product in particular. If you look at the nicotine industry, you'll see that companies like Philip and Morris and Imperial Tobacco are heavily invested in brands like Zyn and Zonic, which are these little pouches, exactly like these, but infused with nicotine. They are selling like crazy across North America. Now, if we look at the demographic consumer of those products, what we're looking at approximately is 70% male, 30% female, ages 18 to 42, which happens to be exactly the demographic of existing cannabis consumer that we're targeting with this product. In other words, the product is familiar. The minute a potential customer walks into a retailer and they see that little pouch, they already know what time it is. They know exactly what they need to do. That's point number one. Number two, under the current excise tax regime, which excise taxes makes up a significant portion of all product sales across Canada. This happens to be classified as an ingestible extract, which means that it's subject to substantially less excise taxes than cannabis flower extracts, for example, which allows me to price one unit of this product, which is 10 pouches, on a retail shelf, depending on the province, at around $20, which means that one pouch is only $2. One pouch contains the maximum legal dose of THC, which is 10 milligrams, it's a good dose, which makes this cheap, very cheap. That's point number two. Point number three, when we launch this product in Alberta, less than a month from now in two flavors, wintergreen and honeydew, we will be the first to market. I also expect us to launch a flavor of this in Ontario, probably in January or February, and as product calls continue to come around in the country, we'll continue to take part in them with the goal, of course, of having this available for all Canadians to enjoy. Just wrapping up here, a quick note on the cap structure. So as it stands today, we have a little over 50 million shares outstanding. Cap structure, by the way, that has gone relatively undiluted since we took this company public in April of 2021. On a fully diluted basis, we're looking at less than 55 million shares outstanding with about 40% insider ownership. As of this morning, market cap of around 4.5 million, which is about 9 cents. And I'm proud to say that we have no debt. We're absolutely debt-free. Now, I'm not one of these people that's against debt in a business, so long as it could be supported by cash flow. But at this industry in particular, I think it's healthier for a company to not have any debt. So that being said, I'm happy to take questions that you might have. Go ahead. That's a good question. So for anyone that didn't hear, the question was, we used to have a USA sales rep. We no longer do on the website. The answer is the sales rep performed, got the product into the stores that she had relationships in. And then after that, performance kind of weaned off. And so she and I both decided that it was time to sort of move on. But that was really in the midst of our focus on specifically the cannabis industry. The focus on the United States for now is not going to be more retail accounts. We have about 350 retail accounts, and I'm quite content with the volume there. It's less expensive and more effective to focus online specifically on platforms like TikTok, Instagram, and Amazon. Go ahead. We have 5 employees. Any other questions? No? I'll leave you guys with this since we have a couple minutes left, I think. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, it is a diverse perspective of people. So, I mean, our board is diverse, and it was chosen for, well, first of all, to be on the TSX, you need, because I didn't have much corporate governance experience when I took this company public. This is, in fact, my first public venture. I'm more from the private world. So I wanted guys that were there to support me in terms of, you know, the corporate governance, specifically with regards to TSX law and securities law. So that was some of the criteria. Also needed to be guys with some experience in some kind of industry similar to this. So Valeo Pharma, one of our board members, you know, CPG pharmaceutical products, Merck & Co., CPG pharmaceutical products. Yeah, that kind of thing. Absolutely. It's in there. I don't know. They didn't supply the presenters with any of those. Let me leave you guys with this. Think of it this way. Some of you have probably realized it, but perhaps some of you haven't. For any one product that I sell, there's actually two companies eating out of that plate. So what is a 25 or a 40% margin on any one product that we sell? There's a company out there manufacturing it for us, opposing our brands to it, who is making maybe 20, maybe 30, maybe 40% as well. And if you look at the evolution of this industry, from inception, we heavily overestimated demand. We built supply accordingly, and there is an insane oversupply in the market. That's why they're shutting cultivation facilities down. So the companies that will be in a position for M&A activity with us or of us are not going to be looking for more supply. They'll have plenty of that. So if they're looking to M&A with a company, and you have a cultivation or processing operation with you, they already have all those things. They're not looking for that. They're looking for more revenue. They're looking for more demand. They're looking to buy brands. So the fact that we don't have any of that manufacturing, they look at us and they might see a 25% margin. They're quickly going to realize that that's actually maybe a 50% or 60% margin to them once, depending on how efficient they are, once that product is in-house there, which I believe positions us well for that kind of activity into the future and makes us substantially more valuable. Thank you.